I didn't make the call.
Was it good for you?
It was
good
for me. I did. It was satisfying.
I wasn't cheating on you. I was forced to look at some other options on the menu. All right? That's what happened there. Oh, that's right. Yo, yo, yo. What's up, mofos? It's Chris Sims. It's Paul Burmeister. I tell my wife that all the time. I'm allowed to look at the menu. I just can't order anymore. Back off me. Stop controlling my eyes.
You're still a
I'll
guy.
Look where I want.
You're still a dude.
I am. I am. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I don't know. I just, it's, what can you do sometimes? I don't know. I look at all people, though. That's the other thing, too.
I've said that as well.
Yes.
I notice people.
I do. Like, I if it's people. A cool guy walking down the street, yeah. and I go, damn, that's like, I like his sneakers and whatever his hoodie. I don't like him.
Some
like,
dude just
I
walked
can't look
behind
at a guy.
You
yeah.
down the hall, right. and I took my eyes off you, and I tried to see who it was.
Right.
It's just, you know,
you're
part
people
of being
watcher.
Aware, observer.
Agreed.
Things are different sitting here now because this is the first time I've been on a show with you since I've been inside your house.
Oh, right. That's so right. Like, you came over the house. Well, I cheated we cheated on you, so I figured I'd invite you to the house.
It's even. It's all back to even.
Right.
But things have forever changed now.
Yep. Now you know the house. You got to go in the barn. You got to see most of the family. You didn't get to meet my son. We had a good night, though. That was a good night.
You know, took a
ate
trade.
Some food.
Yeah.
You know,
it
had
was a
few
night
drinks.
Of trades,
right? It
and
was.
We traded your youngest son. I met the dog and the cat.
You met the dog and the cat.
Yeah,
yes, you
that's
did.
That's what I got.
You met Bentley and Platt, who was in the barn, who we stuck there. But yeah, that was a good night. We enjoyed the draft. It was like a whirlwind, as they say. Okay. Whirlwind.
Oh, was it world or world?
Yeah, no, it's world, but I say world, and we're going to stick with that. Okay. It's a Simsism.
Like it.
And it's one of those ones where I'm just like, I'm going with it. It makes more sense than a whirlwind.
Yeah.
A whirlwind is crazy. It's all over the world. You don't know. but that was it was one of those first rounds when you left. I was like, holy crap. I had to like sit in bed. I brought my computer in bed as I had the TV on to kind of like digest it all a little bit. Just be like, wait, who traded what and what?
I know, right?
It was a lot of moving parts, but a good, exciting weekend. And then here we are. We get the chance to talk about it a little more. We got some things going on in the NFL that are interesting, definitely.
Always.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins getting suspended.
Yeah.
Not a good look there. Mm. Definitely not. The Browns and all their drama, right? Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. I'm still amazed by that. That's actually, the more time goes on, the more I'm like, I don't know, that Deshaun Watson Cleveland Browns thing is really dicey, like really dicey in so many angles, and maybe we'll unpack that more next week. They got off their tanking charges, which I don't think that's tanking. I don't think it's tanking just because there's a difference to me, and let's do this real quick, if we don't mind.
Like,
you know, the Browns get you know, what do you want to say? The NFL lets them off the hook, found them not guilty of tanking, right? This is different than the Stephen Ross, Brian Flores accusation, which I know is all accusations right now. But the way that's laid out is that Ross was literally saying, like, throw games. I want you to not coach right in the game and not win. Now that to me is tanking, deliberately losing, misleading the public, all of that. Not building your team to necessarily be the best that year is not tanking or deliberately losing. You know, there is some aspect of planning for the future a little bit and not going, we're going to go all assets in right here, right now. Okay, not every team's going to do that. They were planning for the future. People are getting on and go, well, they didn't incentivize winning in year one and year two. Okay, there's again, that's not against the rules. And the public is not misled. Like, you look at it and you go, oh, they're a young team. Oh, they're young. Okay, oh, they're not very good. I've never heard of some of these fucking guys.
Right.
Okay, oh, they didn't spend much money on their salary cap. So it's an inexpensive roster. All that information's there to bet and gamble and do that. That to me is not tanking. There's a total difference there.
Yeah.
You know, and then so, I mean, we're going to basically say every team that tries to rebuild is tanking. And that's where I think that they made the correct decision here. Now, I don't think it's apples to apples to the Miami thing,
no,
and that's
not.
Where it'll be
it's
different.
Not. I mean,
right.
it kind of gets grouped right. together right now because of the label, but when you really look into it, same building, different floor, accelerated version of that in Miami.
Yeah, exactly,
I mean,
right.
Those two things don't really belong together.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, that was a little football news for here. Now we got back to the draft.
Little sidetrack.
So,
the evaluating the draft and who won the draft, that part of the week is over. Thankfully, love the draft. I always, you know, dislike that because, I mean, what do we really know about grading
until
they play?
Right.
So now, I mean, we're going to do this. We're still going to handle what the draft gave us in terms of NFL news.
Yeah.
And kind of treat it a little different way. We're going to take all the positions,
yeah,
a handful of rookies, and say, all right, Look at the ones who did really, really well last year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what got selected this year, what do you picture happening in their rookie seasons?
Sure.
Who is this year's fill-in-the-blank?
Yeah,
we're
going to
go position by position.
Right.
And I think we ought to start at wide receiver.
Well, we might as well.
Okay. There were six in the top 18.
Yeah.
So we got to start somewhere.
Kind of a big deal.
Very popular spot there in the first round. So who is going to be this year's Ja'Marr Chase?
Right.
The high pick who went off to become the rookie of the year. You got a lot of selections there.
You do.
Who's your guy?
You know, and you're right. Like, first off, I just want to piggyback off of what you said. You don't know what this is going to be. What we try to do right now is, yes, what we evaluated as a talent, and now also look at the fit with the team and they're in, and just try to
just
go, ooh, it makes sense.
It.
I see it. Yeah. I hear it. I got you. And then, yeah, you start off with this, with Ja'Marr Chase, and who's going to be that guy? That's an important subject. I mean, we went to the Super Bowl last year, and the two teams that were there, you know, their best team, their best players – you know, other than Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford, the next guys people talked about for the year itself were the receivers.
Yeah.
They were the linchpins to make these teams good, whether it was Cooper Kupp or Ja'Marr Chase. All right, so this year's Ja'Marr Chase. We got, like you said, a talented group here at wide receiver, right? And I am a little bit, not necessarily go like, I think Jameson Williams is the most talented.
Yeah.
But it's Detroit. He's coming off an injury.
Might not be there.
Right, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, Drake London, love the talent.
Yeah.
Unproven Atlanta offense. Marcus Mariota's quarterback. I'm not going to put my to that.
I would have made him my pick.
You would have made him your pick.
I would have made him the
okay,
one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. That's good.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm not, though. I'm just going, I got some questions there that I'm just not sure about. I love Garrett Wilson to Ohio, you know, from Ohio State on the Jets. Also can look at it and go, oh, they got a lot of other weapons. They're going to have Breece Hall in the backfield. That might affect his carries, touches, all of those things, right? You know, so I don't want to go through every one. The one that jumps out to me is Christian Watson.
Okay.
That's the guy I'm going to go with. First off, because of necessity.
I was going to say he's going to be forced.
Exactly.
Forced into
There's
it.
A little bit of a situation here where it's like, oh, no, we need you to develop and we need you to keep going.
Now.
And Rodgers is going to stay on your ass. And
they're
going to find things in the game plan week to week that are going to, like, you know, accentuate what
call.
You have.
Yeah.
So that's why I go with it. I'm not necessarily sitting here to just say, oh, he's the best because I had him number two and that's why. No, it actually makes sense to me with, you know, their offense. You have Rodgers and the no number one receiver guy on the roster, let alone not a very deep position on the roster to begin with.
Yeah.
I think he can be the guy that, like, kind of sets the league on fire a little bit. And we go, oh, whoa, this guy's a player.
And I know you liked him a lot.
Would you rather
have the Packers take those two first-round picks they had and get up into the teens to take someone like other teams did?
Well,
or do you think it was right to develop the front seven
and
get a really good player in round two?
Yeah, I have no issue what they did. That's a very good question, and that's a tough decision. Because I did think of guys like and go, you know, hey, as much as I love Watson, like Olave might be a little bit more of the ready-to-go NFL. You know, I'm ready to help you out, Aaron Rodgers, and I understand how to run every route in the playbook and read some coverage. Like, that to me is like the kind of guy that they like, okay, he's polished. He knows how to do it. We know he's kind of a pro already coming in here. I thought that might be a guy they might go after, but, you know, again, I'm sure they didn't like the price tag, and they probably said, we think there's going to be some receivers here later on, and we'll do that. Again, they got a lot of crap for their draft. But those two Georgia kids on their defense, they're real. I know we all want them to take a receiver, but damn, that linebacker and that D tackle are really freaking good. They're going to help out the Packers.
And let's keep in mind that Green Bay, not just about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He was able to play, I don't want to say conservative, but they score 24 points and win most of the time because that defense was so good.
Definitely.
So it's really developing and enhancing a system that's kind of become the way they play there.
Yeah.
So I'm like you. I would have loved to seen them get a receiver early with those picks, but I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it the way some other people did.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, moving on with the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Who's going to be this year's Jalen Waddle? And the kind of tag there is the biggest target hog at wide receiver. The sixth overall pick caught 104 balls last year.
Right. Well, this is one thing I can say. In this class, I don't think it's going to live up to last year's class. Again, that is special. Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase, are you kidding me? And then Devontae Smith, too. That was a really, really special class. And I'm not sure if anybody, I think, is going to be in the Chase Waddle category. Like, you know, to me, Williams and Watson are the only two guys that have those physical skills that way. But when you just talk about targets, guy that can rack up catches, be a big part of the staple of the offense, dependable, all of that, because that's what Waddle was, not only a playmaker, but they knew he could do all the slot stuff and read the coverages and run it all the right way. I'm gonna go with Olave here. This is where the Saints, West Coast offense, you know, Sean Payton. You know, they have a million ways to throw the ball 6, 8, 12, 10 yards and just run a good route in the play design, and you'll never be covered. I could see Olave being a guy there that, again, a little bit like we talked about Green Bay. There's not a ton of proven commodities there. I know Michael Thomas is back, but I really think it'll be him and Michael Thomas show, basically, and they'll be featured or the one or two read on every play. So I go with Olave there. I did think about Treylon Burks. Just because a little bit, like, again, we talked about with Watson.
Yeah.
It's kind of like necessity. Like, the radar's on you. I mean, the bullseye's on you. You traded away A.J. Brown, and you drafted this guy to replace him.
Yeah.
They're going to throw him the ball. They're going to find every cheap way in the world, in fact, to give him catches to go, this is why we gave him away. See, look, he's got 85 catches. And, you know, they're going to do that, too. So it's one of those two for sure.
It's amazing thinking about the pressure on him compared to, like, Jameson Williams. Just, I mean, how different their rookie seasons feel for a number of reasons right off the bat.
Right.
One more question about receivers. Now we go to kind of the mid-late round guys. Seen a number have big-time success recently. Let's call this one, who's going to be this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown? Fourth round pick, almost had 1,000 yards, 900 last year with Detroit.
Yeah, right. You know, and again, I tried to stay a little true to the rounds to a degree, right? I mean, there's some guys in the second round that I look at, like, you know, hey, John Mechie could be a guy that, you know, pops on to the world with stats and good things that way. But I think the mid round, there's two of them here. All right, and I'm not cheating. I'm just giving you the two that were in my thought here. Calvin Austin for the Steelers, right? That's just one where I just go, oh, man, you got Deontay outside and Claypool outside and him in the slot. You know, I think he can be Jalen Waddle-ish to a degree with some of his play there. Now, the quarterback situation makes me go, I'm not quite sure how that's going to go, and that makes me a little pump the brakes there to where – the other guy I think of is David Bell with the Browns, all right, from Purdue, Big Ten guy, not real speedy. I think he ran 4.6 at the combine.
More savvy than speedy.
Savvy than speedy. Yep. That's the way to say it. Can play, very instinctive. And then another guy here that we're talking about is a high-level route runner to where I look at them and go, oh, they got a few people go down the – oh, there goes Amari Cooper. Great. Oh, yeah, there goes Schwartz. Whoa, he's fast. Whoa. Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then – oh, now we got David Bell to work underneath. And David Bell is my answer, Pete. Sorry, I should clarify that. Yes. But to me, that he could be that guy that racks up a lot of catches. It might not be highlights or anything like that, but we sit here and go, man, he's really got a carved like a role out in the offense for himself.
Quarterback landscape for rookies this fall going to look so much different than last year, just by numbers. I mean, last year I was looking at it, Chris, 8 went in the top 70.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
One in the top 70 this year.
It's insane.
Just Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So let's start with this one. Who's going to be Mac Jones, the quarterback who steps up and kind of quiets the critics right away?
Well, this is like the quarterback conversation with some of these is going to be easy because there's only one of them I look at that's going to got a chance to really play for sure.
You got to search.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Pickett.
Yeah.
First off, Pickett has some Mac Jones qualities, right? And I think maybe I'm wrong about him. I've been one that has sat here and gone, I'm not sure about the high-end talent like some people were doing with Mac Jones, right? So I think – but ultimately, I mean, I'm going to pick him because I think he's really the only guy that can realistically sit here and go, I definitely think there's a chance he can get on the field week one.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to go with him. And then, yes, when he gets out in the field – Does he have a chance to open up some eyes? Yes, he's well-schooled, like we talked about. He is polished. I mean, he ran a pro offense and did a lot of pro stuff, so he's not going to be in shock. And then he's playing in the damn stadium he's played in the last 6 years anyways.
Same building.
There's a lot of things that make him feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for most of these, I got to think that you're thinking about it and, like, looking at two names, and there is a close second. There's not a close second here. Who would be second, even though it's a distant second?
I know. You know, that's where I mean, I think ultimately, like, I don't think Malik Willis is going to get on the field this year. Nothing against Malik.
What
I just think Tannehill's good. It's a great spot.
Great rookie.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You know, you go to the Carolina situation. Could you see Corral maybe getting on the field if Sam Darnold stubs his feet early in the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
You know, could I see, like, oh, Mariota has just an okay preseason and Ritter did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons start off 1-4 and they go to Desmond Ritter?
Yeah.
Absolutely. See, so those are two situations where I go, okay, I think there's at least a little logic to those guys could be on the field at some point during the year there. And from that, that's where I think I would go Matt Corral.
I would see Corral as the more likely.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Mariota knows the system. He knows the offense. You know,
I feel like there's going to be more patience with him, too, just because he didn't have those moments where he stunk in that city last year.
Right? I know, right.
I'm pulling for Darnold, but there were some tough stretches last year.
100%. I think you're saying it right. You're right. There's no negative perception around Mariota right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like, hey, this guy used to be the number two pick, and they got history with him.
Yeah.
There's no hate from the fan base.
Right.
There's people in Carolina that are like, are you fucking kidding me? We're starting Sam Darnold this year.
Two bad games aren't going to be tolerated in September.
I think he could have a short leash, exactly right to your point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I had to go number two, I'm going Corral there.
Who will be this year's Davis Mills? Later round pick who surprises. So Davis, third round selection, 67%, 16 touchdowns, was much better than anybody thought he'd be last year.
Yeah, yeah. Bailey Zappi from New England is the guy I'm going to go with there. I am. I just, I liked him watching him on film. I think when we did the quarterback rankings there, he was my – you know, honorable mention guys that I talked about. It was him, Jack Cohn. You know, I liked him. Jack Cohn, I can't believe he didn't get drafted. He got signed as a free agent by the Colts.
Yeah.
But to me here, like the new Patriots pick with Bailey Zappi is Brian Hoyer to me, 2.0. This is what it is. It's like if our starter gets hurt, okay, we can run our offense. He might not be able to do some of the high-level things our starter does.
Right.
But we're not going to miss much. And this guy will be – we can program him like the robots we like to program here. And that's it. So, to me, that's what they did. They drafted their next Brian Hoyer, a guy that's like, no way is he ever going to be in the competition to start. But we love him here as the backup for 10 years. And if he leaves us in between somewhere and someone thinks he might be able to be a low-level starter, okay. Right. Well, he'll be back after that anyways.
And Brian's been in the league so long, like he's got to be so much more expensive than Zappi if he can get to that level right away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, I think what minimum – he's making maximum minimum at this point, right, Hoyer? So he's making over $1 million a year for sure.
All right, I mentioned that the quarterback landscape a lot different early in the draft this year. Running back the same, not a single first-round running back, not a surprise. Three in round two, three in round three, and then five in round four. Who do you think of the group that went will be this year's Najee Harris? And that's kind of like the workhorse running back.
Yeah.
Led the NFL in touches, 1,600 scrimmage yards. Lot to like about his rookie season.
Lot to like about it. You know, you got to talk into the team a little bit. I'm going true workout, a horse. Who's between the tackles? I'm not talking about, you know, a ton of catches and on the field every play. Like real between the tackles workhorse, how you explained it. I'm going to go with Dameon Pierce from Florida that was drafted by the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you've seen the body. You see the way. He's made to be a workhorse.
Yep.
I mean, that's what he is. He's a human sledgehammer, all right, with great acceleration. And then I think between that, the way his body's built, he's made to play between the tackles and be that kind of guy. Very similar body and almost to Javonte Williams. It's almost a similar guy in a lot of ways. I think he has better acceleration, but maybe not better long speed than Javonte Williams. But then also I take into account and look at Houston's roster and go, well, yeah, there's no guy there that's like, you know, he has a real chance to be the number one between the tackles, let's go guy for their football team. So I'll go with him. And I think they're going to play a balanced style of football on the offensive side there. But he's the one guy that pops to me where I go, he's definitely going to get a ton of touches and I think be the main guy. Kenneth Walker from Michigan State.
Yeah, now, he been
you
a
know
good
that's
pick
my
too.
Favorite. Yeah. No doubt. Only thing I'll say here is, hey, we still don't know with Chris Carson, even though it's not looking good.
And he's in Seattle.
Right. But they do. Rashad Penny had a really awesome end of the year last year to where I think that could just – it's probably maybe his last year there. They're going to ride him a little too to save their investment. And because Rashad Penny, when he's healthy, has shown he's pretty
not
damn
bad.
Good.
Yeah.
So that'll take away Walker's carries, even though he is the epitome of a workhorse to me. Right.
Good clarification there. So we're talking about between the tackle type running back there. Let's kind of shift out wide.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say who's going to be the flashiest rookie running back like Javon Javonte Williams at Denver last year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with somebody in the second round. And then to me, it's two of the pass catchers here that's down to with me. I'm going to go with James Cook.
I thought you were going to say Breece Hall.
It was one of the two. Yeah. It's one of those two. I'm only going with James Cook just because he's got Josh Allen and it's the Bills. Right, but the Jets were just—they're still a work in progress, and it's a second-year quarterback, and all of that. I'm expecting great things with Breece Hall, but I just look at like the Cook thing to go, hey, that team's awesome. They're good. They know what they are, and then they got a quarterback that I think is the best player in football. So it's just going to be easy for him. The field's going to be wide open. It's going to be Josh Allen. You know, everybody, oh, shit, he's going to throw an 80-yard bomb. Oh, he threw a 4-yard pass to Cook. Oh, crap, there's nobody around him, and he can fly. You know, that's where I just look at it. The screen game, all of that. I just think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to be in space. That's why I went with flashiest.
Yeah.
Again, I love Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker and all those guys, too. Trying to spread the love around here a little bit, too. But, yeah, that was the guy. I think those two, you said the other one.
Yeah.
But Cook is. I'm going to give Cook the little advantage just because of the team he's on.
One more running back category to hit. And one of the reasons, I mean, talent, yes, but teams don't want to take one in the first round because there's this thought, we can get one in the later rounds.
Yeah.
Get a steal and get a lot out of that running back. So, like Elijah Mitchell last year to the Niners, mid to late round pick. He was a 6th-round pick, almost went for 1,000 yards. So, who do you see as this year's Elijah Mitchell type that every team thinks about in these late rounds?
Yeah. You know, the Niners got a mid-round, third-round pick that I like in Davis Price for out of LSU. But, again, they're going to spread the wealth at running back. You know, they're a team that's going to take a running back, I think, probably in every draft as long as Shanahan's there. Now, I'm going to go to the team that I also think is going to take a running back in every draft as long as this guy's still there, and that's Bill Belichick.
Can see it.
Belichick's not. Yeah. They're like people are getting mad at him for taking him 2 running backs. I want to go. Wait, James White's got an injury thing, and Harris is on the last year of his contract. So to take 2 running backs, so what? This is the new modern thought in the NFL. Draft a running back every year because in 3 years we're going to send him out the window to somebody else. They do have Ramondre Stevenson. I get that, but we know how they are here. Right? I mean, this is New England. Oh, we want a power guy? It's Ramondre Steven. Now we need a home run hitting, best mid-late round running back impact guy. Pierre Strong is the guy I'm going with.
Dude's going to get carries right away.
I think so. He's going to get carries. He's definitely going to have games where they're going to go, ooh, we want you in this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite honestly, I think he's up there as far as just the pure home run hitting ability with the top running backs in the draft. Again, this is a guy that, you know, he might not have had the wiggle and some of the power that Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker has, but he is the guy that if you're running outside zone and here's a hole and you just go, now it's time to put your foot in the ground and go through that hole, he is every bit as good as they are at that department to where you can go, whoop, there he goes, 80-yard touchdown. Nobody's going to catch him.
Right.
And that's the element I think he's going to bring. The Patriots, they obviously had a thing of going, we need to get faster.
Yeah.
They got the fastest receiver in the draft and the fastest running back in the draft. You know, they left that Bills game, if everybody remembers, where they went, you guys look fucking slow out there in Buffalo. And Buffalo wasn't a fast team because Buffalo played Kansas City the next week and went, we're slow.
Yeah.
We need to get faster.
Yeah.
So I think they made a real, you know, emphasis on that, and Pierre's the guy I'm going with.
And they'll have Cole Strange blocking.
And Cole Strange. Strange and strong.
Thinking about the offensive line, that's the next focus. Rashawn Slater, awesome last year.
Amazing.
13th overall pick.
Exceeded my expectations.
Played every snap.
Yep.
Made the Pro Bowl. So if somebody gets a Rashawn Slater, pretty big compliment.
Right.
Three tackles went in the top 10.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is most likely to be this year's Rashawn Slater?
Evan Neal. That's who I'm going with. I mean, again, it's not tricky here. The Giants, they need him to play well. He's going to be on the field starting, ready to go. Here we go. And you know my thoughts about him. I think he's the one that can change their team the most out of these picks here, right? And just give him a real, like, force of nature on either tackle position, wherever they end up putting him. I just look at him, as you heard me say, Rashawn Slater made a name for himself this last year for one reason. Everyone went, his fucking pass protection is amazing.
Right.
Nobody gets near him. I think he let up 1 sack the whole year, something like that. Evan Neal, you know, you heard my thoughts on him. I think he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's the best pass protecting left tackle I've seen come out in a while. So I'm going with him.
And the Chargers selected an offensive guard in the first round this year, so they kind of fortified that offensive line, or they hope to. Let's think about interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
If you include the center position, I think four went in the first round.
Yeah.
So you got a lot to pick from here. Who will be this year's Creed Humphrey? Second-round pick, played 99% of the Chiefs snaps last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the obvious one is Linderbaum for the Ravens.
Yeah.
It's a real need. He's going to play. He's the 20th pick. He's going out there. He's going to start. And he's going to be really damn good. I mean, that's the obvious one. All right. So I didn't go with that because I've given him such love.
It would work.
I know it would work.
Yeah.
So maybe we could do both here. I actually am going to go to the Chargers. I was just going to go with Zion Johnson there.
Yeah.
Just because, again, I think it's a real position of need there. Like, they got an issue there. And they weren't a great running football team to where I just think he might have the biggest impact overall. You know, I love Linderbaum, so I'm just trying to be a little different and give some other names here. But Zion, to me, yes, for the reasons I just stated, and then even though might not think his top-end talent's as good as maybe a Linderbaum or a Kenyon Green, what we talked about with him more than anything is Zion's an NFL-ready. The first day he's at OTAs, they're going to be, he can do all this. Boston College runs a pro offense. They run pro running schemes. He's going to be ready and hit the ground running, where some of these other guys might have a little bit of a learning curve. Linderbaum, like him, though.
Yeah.
It's Iowa. You know that. It's NFL offensive line stuff. So it's those two guys. I'm just giving Johnson some love because we've talked a lot about Linderbaum.
How about the defense? And Pete says we will allow you both.
Oh, thank you. So thank you, Pete. Thank you.
He thought about it. He chimed
in. Ding, 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 ding.
He will allow that to happen.
He can have say on his own podcast.
Other side of the ball. Micah Parsons, 12th overall pick to the Cowboys last year. We start at linebacker. Or actually, this could be anybody.
It could be.
Most versatile.
I know.
Let's say this. Most versatile defender this year's class. Who do you see?
There's three guys that jumped to me. The two obvious ones are the two first-rounders, which is in Hamilton, you know, for the Ravens.
Because
he can play four different positions on the defense. He really can. Free safety, strong safety. Oh, you know, dime linebacker in the middle of the field. Oh, we need you as a big nickel over here. So that's incredible versatility. The kid the Jaguars drafted, Devin Lloyd, I think he's got – I mean, I said he's got Michael Parsons' ability in that way. His pass rush ability was there of like, oh – I maybe should rank him as one of the pass rushers. That's how good he is in that department. The kid Nick Bonito for the Broncos, I think, can also be that as far as versatility. Stand-up linebacker, pass rusher on third down. I'm going to go with Hamilton here, though. I'm going to go with the easy hanging fruit. I just think it's rare. I think this is why they drafted him. You hear Harbaugh talk about him. They're excited about moving him around and matching him up and,
can't wait
and playing
to see
that kind of ball.
All the ways they use him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he, like I said, it could be – you know, it's nickel one play, and here he is, and whoa, he did a pretty good job covering the receiver. And then the next play, they go, you know, hey, Darren Waller's over there. We need you to play man-to-man on him now. He's split out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, man-to-man. All right. Yeah. And then the next play, he's in the middle of the field just playing center field. I'm going to read the eyes and break on a ball. So there's incredible versatility with the player. That really was his value, and you got to see it all. So I'll go with him there. I'll go with him.
I think people are going to be surprised pleasantly at how physical he is, how
I know,
much he enjoys.
Right? You know better than
he's
anybody.
He's such a pretty looking athlete.
Right. Handsome
looks
guy.
Looks like he can go play in the NBA. Yeah.
I know.
All of it.
I know.
And he does not mind getting down there and getting dirty.
Number one thing I questioned when I first saw him, I just went, damn, he is some specimen.
Yeah.
Look at him move. Yeah. Damn, he's handsome.
The whole thing.
And I just went, he's not really going to hit somebody, though. He's not going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And I can't remember that year. I mean, he had an interception in the first home game, but I remember he had a few hits in the game, and I just went, oh, crap, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, this is not just some big, fancy athlete who doesn't really want to hit.
We are projecting this year's picks, this year's draft class, and trying to picture them as someone who succeeded from last year's class. We're on the defensive side of the ball. Okay, best pure pass rusher in this class. They went early, a number of them in the top 10, including at 1 and 2. We're going to call it this year's Jalen Phillips from Miami, the 18th overall pick, who had 8.5 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, he was – Jalen Phillips at the end of the year was really rolling and a force to be reckoned with. Jermaine Johnson is certainly in the conversation.
Have you heard why he went so late yet?
No, I think there were some issues off the field a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, some
you
stuff.
Know? Not like that it was like law or anything like that, but just maybe some attitude and a few of the interviews, leaving Georgia.
Yeah.
Maybe a few people at Florida State talking some crap about him.
All right.
So I think that's where
there had to be something.
I know. Because there were some teams that were like, I don't understand it. They didn't have that same
right
info where they were like, why is he still here? So I think it was, some teams had that, some teams didn't. Some teams like volatile, confident guys like that. Some teams don't. And I think the Jets do. They're looking for a killer on the edge. I'm going to do this, though. He's natural. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Trevon Walker. I am. I'm going to play it from this angle a little bit. First off, we know he's a freak of nature. He really is. You've heard me discuss a lot. He did not get to play the right way. He's hearing all this talk. No sacks, all this. I just feel like between that, the Jaguars, their new team, the energy he's going to bring there, I'm going to go with him. That when he lines up outside and really shows that the whole world what he could do as a pass rusher, we're all going to go, oh, fuck, that's why they took him. There it is.
Peter King wrote about it in his article on Monday.
I talked about it
in his podcast yesterday. And he brought up a good point. He's like, this is the least talked about on draft night and in the hours afterward, first overall pick that he can remember in a long time. I think he made the comparison to Courtney Brown way back when we went to the Browns. Do you think it's all because he wasn't like productive in the way we want an edge rusher to be productive in college?
Definitely.
Is that it?
I think it's that. And then there was no, not a lot of sacks, none of that.
Right.
And then the he wasn't like on the radar going into it. He kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
And he became really I think the football people's guy.
Yeah.
Like where they were like, wait, hold on here. Stop media. It's not about the sacks. They never let him go get a sack.
And he only had 9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Not 1 year, like in college.
Total. Right. Yeah. Well, he played like a defensive tackle. That's where I've been trying to explain people. He never got to just be Nick Bosa or Chase Young or Myles Garrett like they did in college. He never got to be that. So that was, that led to the lack of sack production. But I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with him because I'm kind of sick of the hate on him a little bit. And I'm going to play the angle that he's going to want to shove it up everybody's ass too.
Rockets?
Rockets. Maybe something worse, actually.
there's no better segue to linebacker. Middle round linebackers. Who will be this year's Nick Bolton? The biggest tackling machine at linebacker, second round pick, really good rookie season with Kansas City.
Yeah, he had a great year. He did.
He was fun to watch.
He was a lot of fun to watch. Linebackers, there's some good ones here, we know. There really is. I'm going to go with a guy that's actually not even one of my favorite linebackers, but I think it's going to fall just right for him.
All right.
I'm going to go with N'Kobe Dean. You know me, he was my sixth ranked linebacker.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia, there's a real need. I think he can get on the field right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what Philadelphia has? They have the fucking Georgia D-line in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Jordan Davis. Nobody's ever going to be blocking him.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
They're going to eat up people, and he's just going to be able to, just like he did at Georgia, go, the ball's there, let me run to the ball and tackle him.
Yeah.
I don't ever have to worry about a lineman on me or anything. I can just run and play ball. And that's what he had to do at Georgia. I think it kind of sets up just right for him.
Yeah.
He to me, as I said to you, I think you did that day. I can't remember anymore. He's Denzel Perryman of the Raiders. And Denzel Perryman was one of the league leaders in tackles this past year, too. It doesn't mean it's always the greatest tackles in the world.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, we all look at it and go, you've got tackles. I'm going to go, they're all 9 yards down the field, though. It's not that great of a tackle. He's in the middle of the field. Eventually, it comes that way.
Yeah.
But I think it could set up really nice for him.
I watched a number of Georgia games last year, and I especially remember
he's a ball hawk.
Game against Michigan and also the national championship game. If someone would have said to you, hey, five of those defenders are going in the first round.
Mm.
Who do you think they'll be? I would have had N'Kobe Dean.
I think a lot of people would have.
I mean, as a slam dunk to be one of five.
Me too. I was expecting it too. Again, that's where I hope people know. Like, I turned on the film. I knew it.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to watch a first-round guy and go, okay, yeah, he's the top. Everybody said he's a top linebacker. He's a top linebacker.
Yeah.
But, just not as explosive as fast as you think. He didn't run the 40. I know he's got some injuries and things to deal with too, but I think it's most likely probably because there's times that he didn't like.
Yeah.
And he went, whoa. Because all you got to do is go out there and run like a high 4.5 or even a 4.6 flat, and everyone's going to go, well, it doesn't matter. He plays fast. It's good.
Right.
But then when you don't see the play and then he doesn't do it, that scares you. And then you go, oh, wait, he's 5'10 or 5'11 and it's only 228. You know, those are the things I think that's why, you know, along with the injury a little bit, is why he got left on the board.
First real eye-opener of the draft, I thought, in that first round was when Houston went corner with Stingley.
Yeah.
And we had another one go, Sauce Gardner. Not a surprise at four.
Right.
But the point here, we're turning to cornerbacks here. We had them at 3 and 4 in the first round this year, so you've got some high-end picks to think about here. Who will be this year's Patrick Surtain, the 9th overall pick who, as expected, was good his rookie season in Denver?
Really good. Better than I even thought he was going to be. I mean, he was my number 2 corner. I was wrong. He should have been my number 1. I made the man Tyson Campbell from the Jacksonville Jaguars number 1 right out of Georgia, who had a really good year, too. He was picked 33 in the draft, but not as good as Patrick Surtain's. Surtain is, he showed his ass last year.
Yeah.
Size, speed, plays the ball phenomenal, tackles, does it all. Got all pro written all over him. I'm going with Sauce Gardner here. I am. I don't trust Stingley enough to go that route. And then the rest of the class as a whole, you know, as we talked about, corner was not one of the positions this year that I think people looked at and went, whoa, it's really awesome and deep. Like, there's some good. Every corner had a flaw, though. Every time I was like, oh, that guy's really fast and has the speed I want, but I went, oh, my gosh, his feet are horrible. Or then it was, hey, the feet and the hips are awesome, and I went, oh, my gosh, he's not fast enough. So there was a lot of that this year. Sauce, to me, was the only one that was just guaranteed, going to kick ass no matter what you do, what coverage you're going to play, going to bring attitude to your team. I'm going with him. I'm still shocked by Stingley in so many ways that Nick Caserio would take him, that Lovey Smith, who plays cover 2 and has never been about an island corner, wants to play with an island corner. Pete, did we ever get a chance? Because Pete and I talked about this too. I'm Houston, it's all right, no big deal. I mean, I would think Houston led the league in cover 2 last year.
Mm.
That, to me, that's where I just thought that would never happen. I'm still surprised by that.
And if you're going to play that much cover 2, you're saying you don't need to invest the 3rd overall pick in a corner?
Not for my money.
Yeah.
No. You know, again, there's a safety over the top of them all the time. You're helping them. What's okay?
It's like offensively, like if you're not going to run the ball a bunch, why would you take a running back?
Exactly. Why would you take a workhouse running back that's going to be like, we're going to be, you know, the Buffalo Bills, but we're going to go with Kenneth Walker, who's the best in between. No, that doesn't make sense.
Makes sense.
Right.
Game has changed the corner. Got to have a couple slot guys.
Yeah.
So slot corner. Who will be this year's Nate Hobbs? And that's a Las Vegas Raiders out of Illinois, 5th round pick last year. If you watch close, you recognize he had a good season. Who do you see as that guy this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. It was a year that I think had more outside corners than maybe inside corners overall as far as the draft's concerned. The McCreary kid from Tennessee, I thought about, the number 35 pick, I believe he was, who I really like, but I think he'll end up being a little more outside than in. I think it's really going to be one of the New England guys. New England took two of these guys in the draft.
Two slot guys.
Marcus Jones and the kid from Arizona State, Jack Jones.
Yeah.
Marcus Jones and Jack Jones. Jack Jones has got some, he's got some stuff to him. He's not real big. He's 5'11". He's skinny. He was a big time, started as a freshman at USC. You know, you turn on the film and you can sit there and go, oh, damn, there's some things to really like about this kid. He's quick as hell, just like Marcus Jones is, where they can just stick their foot in the ground and go any direction and accelerate really quickly. They're not real big. You're going to be able to move them that way and do all that. But it's one of those two guys.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go New England guy, Pete. One of the New England guys.
And that's...
That's the last time I'm getting
mowed.
No more double dipping. Since they're both on the same team, all right, I figured that would be fair just because it's like they'll probably have to compete for that spot.
I think Pete pressed down on the button a little harder that time.
Yeah.
He sat up in his
chair. That's
the last
one.
This is the last time.
I know.
One more note on New England with the slot guys. I mean, just think about how the slot challenge defensively has changed in the AFC East.
100%.
With the offseason, Tariq Hill, what the Jets have done in the drafts, what Buffalo does anyway.
Exactly. I think you're exactly right. They're looking at it going, damn, it's Hill and Jalen Waddle. We got to get fucking guys that can cover in all different positions, not just outside. We got to have some, you know, guys that can match them inside, too. Yeah, I think that, you're right.
Jets.
With Stephon Diggs and the Jets and, I mean, Diggs, Jamison Crowder's up in Buffalo. The Jets, without a doubt, with that crew there.
Yeah.
I mean, Berrios and Elijah Moore and them, they're going to work the slot. They're going to be a handful in there.
Big time.
You know, along with Garrett Wilson. So, I think that's, I think that was obviously an emphasis for their team. Speed.
Okay. Safety now.
Yeah.
Best safety. Javon Holland, we have listed here from last year's class to the Dolphins, second-round pick. Played 84% of the snaps, 10 pass breakups led all rookies. You could easily go Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, which we already did, so I won't do
that. We already did that.
Yeah.
Pete's not giving you two.
No, I'm not going two here. Okay. Don't worry. He doesn't have to worry about that. Yeah. I do.
I think I know who this is going to be.
Yeah, you probably do. I will say this. Javon Holland, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Paul. You know, to me, two guys entered the best safety in football conversation last year. Maybe three guys. He would be one of them as a rookie, which is phenomenal. Duggar up in New England, Kyle Duggar, same type of thing. And then even our guy in Carolina, Jeremy Chin. You know, and I need to watch him a little more closely. I lost touch with them a little at the end of the year. Carolina's watching them as closely because they were out of the playoffs. But, man, those other guys are the real deal. I'm going with the traditional safety here.
Yeah.
And I'm going, yes, with Lewis Cine from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of my favorite players.
No regard for his
and
body.
No regard. Like I said during We're in the Barn, and I had to put out my tweet. Like, he wants to hit everybody. He's got a sledgehammer for a head, but yet he can really run. And to me, it's just the most traditional, like, you know, Hamilton, we talked about the versatility. Daxon Hill, you know, from Michigan, who got drafted right before Cine. It's a little bit of nickel safety hybrid. It's not quite. Cine's going to be strong safety, free safety. That's what he is. That's what he'll be. They won't move him around from that. It's going to be go in the box and knock the running back's head off,
yep,
or play the middle of the field, and if a receiver comes over the middle, knock his head off. It's one of the two, and that's really what it is. So I'll go with him.
All right. Our friends at PointsBet are helping us here with the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And unfortunately, as we take a look at the odds here, I was outed last week as a complete gambling novice.
Yes, you were.
I mean, I apologize.
No, don't apologize. It's awesome.
The way it is.
Yes.
So
facts are facts.
Hey, plus 500, Kenny Pickett.
He's plus 500, Paul. He's plus 500.
I know what that means.
You do?
Sort of. Yeah. So he's the most likely to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Drake London is next. Treylon Burks. Those all make sense to me. Breece Hall, fourth most likely at plus 850. You know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
If you put $100 down.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell them.
You got it? You get 850. Okay, yeah.
Do you get 850 or do you get 950?
Well, yeah, 850 profit.
Yeah.
Profit.
Okay.
Right. Net gain 850. Yes, you've already done the $100 bet, but yes, I got you. Yes. Good question, though.
Who's your guy?
This is a good one. I mean, hey, the top three guys on the board there, certainly, you know, you can understand a little bit of like what we talked. I mean, Pickett, the quarterback, hey, all that. You talked about Drake London. I mean,
I've got my pick.
You know, he's going to be special. Burks, they're going to try to get the ball to him a ton.
Further down.
I'm with you.
All the way.
You're going all to the bottom.
Yeah.
Watson.
Christian Watson, plus 1,200.
To me, it's Watson. It's Breece Hall.
Breece Hall.
And it's James Cook. That would be the other guy I would throw on this. James Cook is going to end up killing it in the pass game.
And he's off the board.
He's not on the board, which I'm going to, points bet. There's a dark horse pick by Chris Sims with James Cook.
I like Treylon Burks a little as well.
Yeah, I hear you, because they're gonna force feed him.
He's got to play.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. They're going to justify that trade of A.J. Brown. So I understand that as well. But, Breece Hall, you know, again, I think Garrett Wilson, he can have a really good year, but there's other receivers and options on the field. Breece Hall, not only with the running game, the Jets throwing the ball to him, I think he could really accumulate a lot of yards and touches that way. Watson, we just already discussed. I just think he's going to be the number one guy, and I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be scary.
I'm with you.
And they're going to force it to him a little bit. And then I did, like I said, James Cook at the end of the second round. It's tailor-made for that offense and the fit and everything there. I think he's just going to get a lot of touches that really show what he's got in space. He's made for that. He really is. So if I'm going to go one here, I'm going James Cook.
All right.
All right. Off the board, James Cook.
Plus 1,300.
So he's right behind Christian Watson. So my guys are at number 10 and 11. There we go. And then Breece Hall would be my third.
How about we go right to the defense?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's go right to the defense. Oh, it came on camera if you're with us. There we go. Defense.
Yeah.
Okay. Aiden Hutchinson plus 450. I know where you're going. Your buddy Kayvon Thibodeau is second most likely, plus 500.
Oh, man, I hope I'm wrong about my evaluation of Kayvon Thibodeau.
I know you're pulling for him. I know.
I am. I'm definitely – that was a love-hate draft pick there.
Let's see. Kyle Hamilton is fourth most likely, plus 800. Sauce Gardner right behind him. Derek Stingley is right there. Jordan Davis makes the list, plus 1,300 on
no
the top
doubt.
10.
No doubt. I tend to lean towards the pass rushers here.
Okay.
I do.
It's easiest to measure like their tangible success.
It is. Yeah. Exactly right. I mean, more times than not, yeah, they're going to have the most chance to show that tangible success like you're talking about. And it's, you know, it's can usually be big moments, closing out a game, doing that. It's, to me, one of those three as far as Jermaine Johnson, Hutchinson, Walker. That's who I want to go with there. You know, as far as like, you know, the system fit, Jermaine Johnson is really, like, it's just, it's perfect for him. He really, to me, like I've said, could be the Nick Bosa or the Cliff Avril of this Jets defense, right? The Seattle scheme guys, where I don't think he's necessarily the overall player that the other two guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's not going to have to think about a whole lot. They're just going to go get out there and rush all the time. Even though I think, you know, Trayvon Walker, I think expect, you know, a lot more pass rush opportunities. You know, there are defenses I think that will do some different stuff and maybe move him around a little bit more. You know, but ultimately, I think I'm still going to go with Trayvon Walker.
I've got the fifth guy on there.
You're going to go with the fifth guy? You're going to go Sauce?
I'm going Sauce.
You're going Sauce? I can see that. A few picks.
I'm going to say five or six picks, some nice pass breakups.
Yeah.
Improved Jets team.
I hear you. I got to go. I'm going with Trayvon Walker just because I picked him to be the guy that'd be the best pass rusher. So
yeah.
I'm going to stick with that, but I'm trying to give everybody a little logic.
Tackle machine, N'Kobe Dean. Pete said that. I think he just wanted to rhyme.
Well, he might have. Tackle machine, N'Kobe Dean. Yeah. I don't think it's crazy again because, like, I mean, if we get to the end of the year and they're in the playoffs and N'Kobe Dean's one of the two or three leading tacklers in football, that could happen. It could happen.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy thought, Pete. You're onto something there.
Who doesn't want $3,300?
No, I mean, who doesn't? Right. I mean, take it.
It's free money.
Yes.
Yeah. A reminder, you can download the PointsBet app, use code NBC2K to sign up, get two risk-free bets up to $2,000.
Look at you, Johnny the Shark over here. If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for Unbuttoned listeners that you can't miss. Download the PointsBet app, use code NBC2K to sign up, and get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, just like Paul told you. So if you bet $100 and lose, you will get free bets worth $100. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet.
I'm waiting for you to include the S on Live Your Bet Life to accidentally say best life, but you haven't done it yet.
It's tough, though. It's what makes me pause almost every time.
I understand that. It says, if you're in an eligible state, I know your home state of Jersey is most likely eligible.
I wonder
if Iowa is eligible, if our home state's like...
That's a good question. I wonder what you guys are. You don't know. I don't know. You don't know Iowa.
I mean,
New Jersey, of course, is. I mean, we're run by Don Corleone. So, yes, I mean, we always gamble there.
I don't know who we're
kids
run
are
by anymore.
4 years old and they're gambling in New Jersey.
Pete says Iowa is.
Iowa's in.
There it is.
Boom.
Okay. Everything else is downhill from here. So, here's how it's going to work. I've got a list of a number of Ask Me Anything questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll Rattle through these
we'll
until
be quick.
Pete says, I've had enough.
Good.
Okay.
Let's start from the top and rattle them off. Let's go.
Least favorite draft from Don.
Ooh.
What was your least favorite draft?
Well, I'm a positive guy for the most part, all right? I would tell
you. We're asking you to be a little negative.
Yeah,
just
I know
this,
you
just
are.
This one
I know
time.
You are. Yeah, I think here's the ones that, like, were just uninspiring to me, all right? And a lot of them, really, I think, were just because of the trades a little. Like, Dallas is certainly questionable to me.
Because?
Tyler Smith, that high, ton of talent, very raw.
First-round tackle from Tulsa.
Yes, okay. Right. Sam Williams, second-round pick from Ole Miss. Total specimen, is amazing if he just runs in a straight line, but can't do much else. On the ground a lot, can't stop the run, plays really high. Like, they to me, took some, like, let's swing for the fences.
Yeah.
We might get a superstar, but they could easily be busts.
Yeah.
Like, to where I just go, oh, see, that's why you don't take the raw guy there like that and all potential. The Raiders would be a team I would look at a little bit. Now, they didn't have a lot of picks. I understand that. You know, they got a guard. I like Zamir White, the running back they got. I guess I would just say I didn't look at it and go, oh, wow. All right, that'd be one, just to say, oh, wow. They got some guys that filled out their roster. The Chargers, they're another one. You know, not that it was bad, you know, but they traded for Khalil Mack. They had that on, you know. I love Zion Johnson. I didn't love JT Woods from Baylor as their third round pick. It just was one of those where I just went, eh.
It's such a fun team. We both like the quarterback.
Yes,
we're excited to watch them play this year. What would you have liked to have seen them done that they didn't do? Or one position?
I don't know if there was like one thing specifically. I guess I kind of looked at it where, you know, they took Spiller at running back. I thought maybe they would try to find a little bit more of a game changer a little bit early on, a little bit that way. I don't know if I had any expectations or anything, but just like, you know, JT Woods, I felt like there was better guys on the board. Right? Yeah. Just when I didn't love that. Right? So that was my issue. Again, I'm more positive than anything. The Rams are another team that I think I would probably throw in there. They usually kill the middle round of the draft. Not that I look at it and go bad. Again, I just kind of looked at it and went, had nothing pops to me.
I like Kyren Williams.
Yeah, sure. He's going to be good. And they need a guy like that.
Yeah.
That's a great, smart pick for what they do, all that. I'm just talking about, the rest of it, Dakobe Durant, the corner. Hey, maybe that works. You know, got a guard from Wisconsin. Okay. You know, nothing that just makes you go, oh, wow, you know, watch the Rams in the middle of the draft there.
We don't have to be critical or negative from here on out.
Good.
Unless you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take you down that
road,
I don't
think.
I see
this next question.
Giants draft.
Yeah.
Jake Hughes, can we get your read on the Giants class as a whole?
It's a love-hate relationship right there.
I know you didn't love their first pick.
Kayvon
Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau, love you not.
Yep.
Evan Neal, love you.
Yeah. What else do you love?
Wandale Robinson, love you not.
Really?
I want Sky Moore or Alec Pierce or somebody else on the board. Wandale Robinson.
Better receivers.
Better receivers left there.
Okay.
I like the guard from North Carolina. Love you.
Which one? They took two.
The first one. Joshua is
who takes two guards from one school?
I know. It was kind of funny, right? That really was. I'll tell you another one I kind of like. I like the tight end they took from San Diego State. I think he's got some talent. He's got a chance to be something. Very physical. He's got the ability in the pass game. Just one of those guys, Paul, like we talk about a lot, just didn't play in an offense that threw the tight end the ball a lot, so you don't get to see it a lot. You know? And even your guy, Dane Belton, I kind of like that too. I didn't mind that. He's got like some physical specimen attributes about him from
Iowa.
Only
two Hawkeyes got drafted.
I know.
None
from Texas. So it's
none.
We
How does
suck
that happen?
Because we suck.
Honestly,
the Big 12
that
sucks, and we suck too.
Not a single draft pick.
Not a single draft pick.
Wow.
So my relationship there with the Giants and the pick is, I think it was a good draft. I didn't love it. And you know me, I'm questionable about Kayvon Thibodeau. I am.
Next question is about Jermaine Johnson. I feel like we answered this. Andy Poore asked, why did Jermaine Johnson fall? We talked about that a little while ago.
Yes, from what I've heard, I've heard from the right people. I think there was just a few attitude things at Georgia at the door, maybe a few at Florida State, and you know, a few teams that weren't in love with the interview there.
Yeah.
But I don't, again, that was not across the board.
Good value at 26.
It's amazing value at 26. And I know there was teams that were going in the first round trying to kind of figure it out on the fly, going, wait,
why is he here?
Why is he here? Because we didn't have this, and what's going on?
Panthers quarterback situation. Great name here. Pedro Pacheco. If the over-under for games started by Sam Darnold this year was at 5.5, what would you take?
Ooh.
I know you love Corral. Do you think he's ready?
I don't think he's too far off. I don't.
The 5.5 number is interesting.
It is.
For Sam.
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I would.
But not much. I mean, if it's faltered, it's around that line, around that time, right, where you start to go, all right, maybe we need to make a change. You know, but for five games to be under, like, I think they're going to have to be 1-4 for that to be done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bet that they can get to 2-2 or 2-3. And,
you
know, maybe he buys himself another game or two there.
Right.
If it does go that route. So I'll take the over on that one.
Yeah.
And you're feeling the over, too.
I'm taking the over there as well.
Yeah.
I can see Corral playing November, December.
Right, right. Like, we've done it. We exhausted Sam Darnold. We tried to make it work. We gave him a chance.
Right.
And we gave him a little chance with it because it was a new offensive coordinator in Ben McAdoo. Didn't work. See you later. Let's try out the new guy.
I think he gets the first half of the season. Darnold does, and they'll kind of take it from there.
Yeah.
Vikings trading with rivals. That was interesting. At Lockdown Cornerback asks, why did the Vikings trade twice within their division? Both positions they traded were used by their rivals to draft potentially game-changing players that will be looming over the Vikings for years. That really never happens. And just while you're thinking about that, the Vikings traded 12th overall to Detroit so they could get Jameson Williams.
That's right.
34th to Green Bay so they could get Christian Watson.
Yeah, that's big moves, but they got to do what's best for their football team.
Did it stands out because we don't see it much.
Yep.
Did it bother you that they traded within division. It doesn't bother me. I know we never see it. I wonder why we don't see it more.
I don't think
it's that big a deal.
Am I wrong? To me, it's not a huge deal either. It's not. I mean, you know, first off, there's no guarantee you make that trade within the division and they take it. You might be going, these guys are idiots. They'll take somebody
exactly.
stupid.
This is perfect. Right.
Right. So it's not like it's like, I mean, we're all acting like, oh, they definitely are going to get a guy. And hey, you got to do what's best for your team. They don't need receivers.
Right.
They were sitting there a little bit. I think in no man's land at 12, right? It was 12, right? Am I right about that? Yeah.
The 12th was involved there, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So they were kind of sitting there in no man's land at 12, and they decided to go back. You know, I don't know what exactly maybe they were looking for, what it was at 12 that went off the board that they didn't like. That's the thing I don't know. But I think they probably just looked at it and went, wait, we'll take this trade. We'll take the deal. All the assets we're going to get along with it. And we still feel like we're going to get a player we really like at the end of the day. And they did.
Yeah. If someone comes to the table with what you're looking for, I mean, who cares what building they're in? I mean, you could say we're only trading with teams. We're in the NFC with teams in the AFC. You can have an important game in week 15 where that trade comes back to bite you in the ass and cost you the playoffs.
No doubt.
So I agree. The logic just doesn't work with me.
You're right. It doesn't work. And also, what are you going to do? Go, we got a better offer, but they were from our division.
So we can't take it.
Yeah. What? I mean, but whoa. The one team offered you a fourth. This team offered you a second. You're not going to do it because you're in a division? I don't have an issue with that. You know, and then let's see. What was it? So then they traded the second round, the other pick with it, and they ended up taking Booth, right, from Clemson. You know, again, they probably looked at the board and didn't feel like I'm guessing they were thinking DB all the way, and they probably looked at it and went, wait, Kyler Gordon's still out there, Roger McCreary's out there. They probably had similar grades on the guys and probably went, we'll be happy with any of the three.
Right.
Who knows what it is there. But, again, I think they got to do what's best for their team. It's not crazy there.
Best fit at wide receiver is a topic here from Swish B.
Okay.
Out of all the receivers drafted, which one is the best fit schematically? I personally feel like Chris Olave is a match made in heaven with the Saints, but I'm curious on y'all's thoughts.
No, I tend to agree. We kind of hit this on this already.
Yeah.
Olave makes a lot of sense to hit the ground running, being ready to go, run all the intricate routes that the New Orleans Saints have in their playbook. I do. I look at him as being certainly the one that's kind of like the most ready and schooled and polished and like pro ready right away.
Staying with the wide receiver, Patriots wide receiver situation. This is from @GoalLineStand2. Hard to believe the Pats traded up to take Tyquan Thornton, 50th overall, over George Pickens, Sky Moore, and Alec Pierce. What do you think of that?
It's a head scratcher to me. I have no problem with their Cole Strange pick, which everyone talks about. This one to me was a little bit of the weirder one.
Okay,
I don't
because of the other receivers that were available.
Yeah, or? I think so. I mean, just from what I kind of saw in film, I mean, it's really a straight line guy. That's just a true projection. It's just I don't think you can really sit there and go, I think I know what we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where, and again, yes, I mean, George Pickens had some injuries, but he can go, and he's a better player than Tyquan Thornton. You know my thoughts with Alec Pierce and Sky right. Moore, but there was something about them that they liked, and I don't know what it is. You know, I know he's fast, and he's got a little length, but, man, there's some issues in his game. As much as I want to defend all the other Patriots picks, that one is definitely a bit of a head-scratcher for me.
More on the wide receiver, this one to Kansas City from @StarTenderAZ. Did the Chiefs make a mistake trading back from 50 to 54 because three wide receivers went off the board and George Pickens was one of them?
All right, well, the three wide receivers, Tyquan Thornton, I mean, I don't think they cared about him.
Okay.
All right. George Pickens, we talked about, you know, injuries a little bit. You know, the last year he didn't play at all really until the end of the year for Georgia. And you know, with George Pickens and Alec Pierce, all right, with those two guys on the board there, I don't think the Chiefs need that guy, right? And I need to pull up the Chiefs roster, but the Chiefs have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 6'4".
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster's 6'2". They got, you know, Josh Gordon on the roster too.
Got some guys.
So to me, that's they weren't looking for that. They went, wait, we got our, you know, they want a little bit of everything. They got a Mecole Hardman, great. You got MVS, he's fast and got some size. Juju Smith-Schuster, who's maybe more quick than fast, but has some size. So now they probably looked at it and went, wait, let's get a, like a real true slot guy and work underneath and not always have Travis Kelce working underneath. I think that's what they were looking for. So that's what makes sense. And I think he's every bit. I mean, I know I had Alec Pierce in front of him. He's every bit in the conversation as being as good or better than any of these guys here.
Next question is about team draft boards. It's from Will Caldwell, and I think this is referencing – it is referencing the situation when the Patriots took Cole Strange.
Oh, yeah,
inside the Rams. I mean, Sean McVay was surprised that they took him there. So the question is, with regard to Sean McVay's reaction to the Patriots pick, do you think that happens often when the cameras are not on? Do people often have that vastly different of boards?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
probably happens all the time.
Again, I mean, by all due accounts, it looks like the Cowboys had Kayvon Thibodeau as the first player on their board by Jerry Jones' sheet that's been deciphered here that he held up.
Yeah.
I know there's teams that had Kayvon Thibodeau in the low 20s on their board. So the boards can be all over the place there. And then, you know, how this draft shakes out can affect something by 30 picks at times.
Yeah.
You know, you could have been there and you're the Rams. We talked about this a little on Monday where you're evaluating going, all right, let's look at all supposed second round interior offensive linemen and on, you know, because you don't know. So you're just going, man, here's a group of guys that can go anywhere from 35 to 95.
Yeah.
We don't know. Let's watch them all. Or 110, whatever. All right, and again, some teams might have those guys and go, well, we think he's the 40th best player in the draft. Another team can go, he's our 70th best player.
Yeah.
So that's where it can be a mix and match, and then let alone throw in, oh, wait, there was a run at a position.
Yeah.
And now this team has a desperate need at that position to where, oh, wait, now he was our 60th best player, but we think he's the next guy that can really play and do something here. So we're going to take him 20 spots ahead of where we think. That's how that can happen. Again, I think it was a little – you know, like, McVay was having fun. He was laughing. No one expected Cole Strange to go off the board quite there, so he was probably a little surprised about it. He was probably a little disappointed by it, too, because he was hoping, like, man, I hope this fucking guy can kind of sneak down the board for us. Yeah. He can play for us right away. And boom, and that hit. So he makes a comment out loud, but people take it as like, oh, it's such a stupid pick by the Patriots, or he's disrespecting Cole Strange.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any of that. I think it's just more of like a fan reaction of like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is going on right now.
We often hear about teams shouldn't draft for need, but I mean need of certain teams and what they have determined they have to have has to go into these picks.
Definitely.
And maybe they look at him like, he's the best guy at that spot. We've got to have somebody at that spot, and he's not going to be around when we pick again in a couple hours or in an hour or whenever it pops up.
I don't think he's going to be on the board for more than 10 more picks.
There you go.
I really don't. Yeah. You know, 10, 15 picks. He's the – him and the centers, you know, the center from Nebraska and the center from Kentucky.
Yeah.
To me, those were the next guys that are going to go off interior line. So now if you're looking truly for a guard, he's really the only guard there.
Exactly. And if you're talking about offensive linemen – in the 20s, if he's playing well in week 8, does it matter if you got him in the 20s or the 50s or the 60s?
No, not really. And, like, and you know, I bring up to something you said, too, about, like, best player available. Some teams don't believe in best player available.
Right.
Great. Best player available. Oh, we got 7 guys at this fucking position. None of them get on the field. Great. You draft the best player available. He's available on the bench for you now, now, because he can't get on the field because you drafted 6 best player availables at the same position.
Right. All right. Ready for a little Lamar Jackson talk here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, from @JRichX. Why is it that the media can't evaluate a young quarterback until they have a good O-line, run game, weapons, number one receivers, but Lamar has to be the run game with shaky O-lines, never had a number one wide receiver, and he's already figured out and can't throw? And it's May. It's May and we're doing this.
Well, there is hate on Lamar Jackson. There is. There's no question about that. You know, there's some people that just, you know, again, they don't like the style of play. They don't think you can ever win that way, that style of quarterback.
I think Pete just wanted to tease that your top 30 quarterbacks is coming up at some point here.
It's coming.
Top 40, like Casey Kasem.
And he's
top 40.
Okay. And he's still special. You know, I know there's some hate. I think our buddy at J Rich X is being a little maybe dramatic.
I think most people would take Lamar.
A lot of people will.
The vast majority.
But here's the thing. And, you know, hey, the O-line was shaky last year, but at J Rich X, the O-line wasn't shaky in any of the other years. So let's make sure. It's been really good.
Right.
Receiver thing, yeah, it's a little bit of an issue, and it's the way they play. There's no doubt about it. You know, to me, you know, again, it's an interesting conversation. Lamar is going to continue to get some sort of hate a little bit, right? Because the league and people who evaluate football are not sold that you can win a Super Bowl playing that style of football with that style of quarterback.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with black or white, you know, because I know Lamar, even in the shop, he kind of piggybacked off a comment of like, you know, there's still a stigma on the black quarterback. And he said there is. And like, I agree with that to a degree. There's no stigma on Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. So that's where I want to say, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. There's no stigma on them because they play a style of football that we know can win. In the pocket, decisions, big-time throws, all of that.
Yep.
Lamar plays a style that we still haven't seen win more than one playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's questionable. So that's where it's questionable. That's where it's. I want to push back, and I don't think it's about skin color. I don't. I don't think the league's going, oh, we don't like black quarterbacks. I think they're going, oh, we're not sure about quarterbacks that play this style of football and we can win.
Right.
And unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to say it, most of the quarterbacks that do that are black quarterbacks because right. They're usually more athletic.
I think really, all of the really talented quarterbacks in the league, and there's a long list of them who haven't had success in January and February, they're all on this list. Stafford was on that list.
Sure.
Before last year.
Sure.
Crazy talented guy. Why isn't he better when
right.
it really matters?
Right.
So it's more about
there's
they've
a
had
lot
so
of
much success in the regular season.
Yes.
Lamar has, and he hasn't won a lot in the postseason.
Right.
It's more about that hangs over every quarterback who's really good, win a lot in the fall, but they don't win that much once the playoff comes.
No,
It
is. It's exactly that. And I think when you add into the Ravens situation where the Ravens they're doing something nobody in the history of football ever did here. They're playing a style of football and went with a quarterback and a roster building situation that is, you know, new to the NFL.
Right.
And it's cool and it's awesome. But it doesn't mean you can't sit here and still question a little bit and go, I'm not sure you can win the Super Bowl like
right.
that. I'm just not sure. And I hope they prove me wrong.
Think about how much John Elway
and I was a huge
that.
Lamar fan. Yes,
yeah.
I know.
He had to
deal with
new.
It. It's not new. It's always been a quarterback thing. I think it gets a little doubled down here because of the style of play and all of that. But it's a style of play. It's not necessarily skin color. That's where I disagreed with that. Like, take Randall Cunningham, for instance.
Yeah.
When he was with the Eagles, it was like, I don't know if you can win a quarterback like that. He went to the Minnesota Vikings. He was more of a pocket passer and picking it up. Nobody was questioning that.
Right.
Nobody was. It wasn't like, oh, he was still black on both teams.
Yes.
All right. So I know it's a sensitive subject. I think to a
sure.
lot of people. And Lamar, I've been the biggest fan.
Since
and
the start,
he's
yeah.
good in the pass game. But it's also the added thing of, I think the wide receiver thing adds to the conversation
yeah.
too. Right. His best receiver didn't even want to be there.
I know.
That just tells you.
Right.
Oh, they don't like the offense. They don't feel like they're going to get the ball. So I think this conversation is going to still go on around Lamar until, like you say, he John Elway's it or some
yeah.
of these guys and just
yeah.
says, shut up. I'm pretty awesome.
Thinking about quarterback criticism, Jack Farr says, hey, at Chris Sims, what do you think of the fit Baker Mayfield
uh-huh.
to New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Would that work with what they want to do?
I think it does. I've thought about it a few times. I do wonder if they're one of the teams kind of laying in the weeds, just kind of like, oh, we're just going to wait for him to be released. And then
it's been amazingly quiet.
It is. It's amazingly quiet. It's a weird situation. The Browns have really fucked over Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the more I've thought about it, the more I go into, whoa, what the Browns have done with Deshaun Watson, the contract, all of that, the non-well-thought-out part of it, to think, wait, you thought Baker Mayfield was going to be cool with this when you guys are
yeah.
going for him? Oh, wait, now he's not cool, and now you have to go back to the guy who said he didn't want you and make the greatest offer in the history of football to the guy?
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. And
yeah.
now you're going to pay him all this money, and what? He might not play another year. He ain't worth $46 million a year if he doesn't play football for 3 years. I'm
guaranteed,
sorry.
Guaranteed.
That's where I just, the more I think about it, I went, oh my gosh, as time has gone on here and you get to think about it more and more, the more I just go, wow, is this some risky
yeah.
bet proposition
right?
or whatever Cleveland's dealing with here.
But as for the question, Baker
like
to New Orleans?
I like it.
Yeah.
I think he fits that offense. He does. I mean, he's a better – He's a better thrower than Jameis Winston,
yeah,
in my opinion, and definitely a better short to intermediate thrower, which they complained about with Winston last year, and he even recognized that he needed to get better.
If I was a fan of a team that still needed a veteran quarterback, I would be excited if that team went out and got Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I know.
I really would.
I know. I guess the Browns, they're holding him hostage.
Lions, no cornerback is the topic here. Sir Skip, I truly believe my Lions won the draft, but do you think they should have taken someone like Jalen or Moore Davis instead? I know you like Joshua Pascal, but we need a cornerback. Let's take a look at the Lions draft class here.
Let me look up the Lions roster, too.
Okay, so Aiden Hutchinson, obviously, in the first. Jamison Williams, they come back in and get him also in the first round.
Yeah, so, yeah, listen, there's a need for corner on their football team. There's no doubt about it. Now, Jalen Armour Davis, I love him. It sounds like there was some medical issues a little bit to go along with, yes, he's only played really 1 year in college. That seemed to be the reason I hear or whatever that he fell off a little bit. Well, the Detroit Lions, I mean, they got Arurie. I always mess up his name. Okuda's coming back. You know, they did sign Mike Hughes, corner from Kansas City. I think this is one where they just went, and I'm guessing here, just going, damn, this player's too good. And I'm guessing they had nothing on their board that made sense for them as far as corner to be picked in that area. Like, I just look at corners after. Armour Davis is the one that certainly jumps out to me. You know I love him, 100%. But there's guys like Alante Taylor on the board, who's like a tall, skinny, straight-line, fast guy. So maybe they didn't love that. They want to play man-to-man. I'm not sure he's that man-to-man guy. The guy from Cincinnati, the Cincinnati took Cam Taylor Britt. Again, awesome straight-ahead speed. Had some issues with hips and tightness and things like that I think were questionable. So I think it was one of those where it just went like, yeah, we have a little of a need here, but it did not even come close to meeting their board, and Pascal is, I think, a phenomenal football player.
More cornerback thoughts. Let's focus on Seattle here. This is from at YoungRagnar86. Seahawks, !! Obviously, the Charles Cross pick is a home run, but my personal favorites, the two cornerbacks. Tariq Woolen looks to have so much potential, as well as Kobe Bryant. What do you make of them as we take a peek here at the entire Seahawks class?
Yeah, well, I mean, they got potential. They're Seattle corners. That's what they are. They're long. They're not necessarily like the greatest, quickest, great feet type of players. That's not what they usually recruit up there. They got guys that are wait, they're going to jam you at the line of scrimmage and slow you down and stay on top of you, and you're not going to be able to throw jump balls or do anything like that up against these big suckers, and throwing it anywhere in that area is going to be scary because they got, you know, big-time, radar wingspan.
There you go.
Wingspan, duh. but, yeah, that's what they are. Woolen, you know, it's a Richard Sherman-ish type of pick there. He's 6'4". You know, he ran 4.2. He doesn't play 4.2, but that's what they believe in. And I like those picks. I think they have some value for the way they play there.
We have one more question.
Yeah.
Pretty good handle here. This is from at Sober Wrestling. Okay.
Sober Wrestling.
Sober Wrestling. Mm. As opposed to Drunk Wrestling.
I know. Damn, that's disappointing.
That
drunk
person
wrestling
just sent
sounds
us
more
one
fun
for next Wednesday. Where do you think Jalen Hurts and Davis Mills would have gone in this year's draft? Mills round 3 last year, Hurts second round.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I'm going to say they're before.
And I've got this jotted down.
Ultimately,
here.
I'm going to say they go before Corral or Malik Willis.
Before Ritter?
I don't know about Ritter. It'd be maybe before Ritter, too.
One quarterback in the top 70 this year.
I know.
It.
I would just say they probably end up right around before them because I just think, again, with these guys, everybody had questions. You know, nobody was like foolproof.
Yeah.
Mills, you knew what you were getting. Okay, might not be the greatest talent in the world, but, man, he can play quarterback and make the decisions and put the ball where you need to. Hurts, you knew what you were getting as far as, man, good athlete, great leader, you know, can throw the ball down the field a little bit, but we got to work on some of the intermediate throwing and short ball throwing. Okay, great. All right, we know what he is, and then there was some flexibility to maybe do other things with him too. You know, I think with Malik Willis and Corral, I think, you know, teams had questions about that. Ritter, everybody liked the guy, but there was questions about the throwing.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess I would probably say those two ended up going, would go before. I would. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how this whole thing laid out, these quarterbacks.
Fun with the drafts.
Yeah.
Fun with the draft a week later.
Fun with the draft.
There it is.
There it is. We did it. I think we'll still probably hit some draft stuff next week, no doubt about it. There's some teams that maybe we haven't hit on that we need to break down a little bit more. You know, again, even the teams that I brought up that, you know, we were negative on, you know, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Rams, the Dolphins, where I just said it wasn't special draft. They still maybe I need to maybe pick a, like, show one or two picks of each team to go, like, damn, there was still a pick or two that I really liked about them,
yeah,
for sure. All right, everybody. Peace out. I'm done talking. NBC. Kentucky Derby this weekend.
That's
watch
right.
that. Yeah. Check that out. All right. I'm a businessman. I'm good for the business, right? I'm trying to pump up the
get
ratings.
Some advice.
NBC. No, I don't. I mean, have a drink and enjoy the enjoy the watch. I can't wait for it. Send in the questions. I think we're going to get Big Phil back on the podcast next week.
Nice.
Definitely. You're going to be on next Wednesday?
I've heard that.
Wednesday, yeah. Paulie V here. Monday, be back with Ahmed. There we go. That's a show. There's a show.
There it is.
I'm done. I'm talked out for a Wednesday afternoon.
Well done.
Peace out. You're the man, Paul. Thanks for driving the ship as always. Peace out, homies. We'll talk to you this next week. Have a good weekend.